Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America, and we're back with another episode of In the Open. And I have Teresa here with me, as always.
Hi, guys.
So today we're going to be talking about how do I find balance in my life? And just to give you some backstory, I struggle with this all the time. I think Teresa does too. And, you know, the question may come up, like, why are we even talking about this? Does this actually have to do with mental health? And I would say the answer is completely, because when you're trying to find ways to figure out how to deal with all the responsibilities and everything that we have to do in our day to day, it impacts your mental health. So we're going to like dive deep into that and then hopefully come up with some ways in which you can try to find some balance. So I'm going to share a little bit about why I think this is, for me, an area that is really interesting. I don't know if you guys are new to the podcast or not, but both Teresa and I work full time. You know, we love what we do and here at Mental Health America, but I am also a doctoral student. So like I'm in dissertation, which is a hassle and a lovely thing to be in, but then you also have a life and trying to manage all of that and the expectations that we set for ourselves, the responsibilities that we have, it can be really hard to just manage. And I think that's where I would like to start. Like how do you manage, or how do you try to manage things, Teresa?
You know, so what you just did was like made me reflect on what are the responsibilities that I even have on my plate.
Yeah.
And one of the things I often struggle with is saying no. And I know that this is still a problem that I have. It's almost worse now because I used to say yes to things that were just events or stuff, like little things. I'd say I'd do something for someone. And then when I would do it, I would get so stressed out that I would become angry and then passive aggressive about the frustration that I had because I didn't say no. Now I've learned sometimes to let go of those small things, but then I picked up big things. Like, I don't know why my husband and I both have second jobs.
Yeah, I forgot you guys do that.
And I'm constantly, do we feel like we need it? It's true that we sometimes do. The money, the extra money helps, you know, to just make ends meet for things that we're trying to do, like fix your house or do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm also like, no, I could let that big thing go and reclaim a lot of space in my life and probably feel a lot less stressed out. But it's almost harder to let go of the big things, you know, like the big commitment that you say you're going to do, like volunteering for something.
So it totally makes sense. My question, though, to you is, do you get something out of saying yes to these big things? Like, is it fulfilling another aspect of like your desires?
I think that's why it's harder to say no to these big things, yeah, because I do get so much benefit versus like saying yes to doing an errand for someone. I have zero benefit there. I'm just doing a favor for someone. So it was easy to say, no, I need to set those boundaries and say no to those things and not feel guilty about them because I'm literally just helping somebody, which is the only benefit, versus now I'm getting a lot of benefit. I like the things that I'm volunteering for. I like the extra things that I'm doing. I get paid. There are lots of big benefits, right? But then there are a lot of big consequences to them.
Yeah. Because I think what happens, at least in the spaces in which we're in, a lot of people tend to say yes, like you're saying, to both little things and big things, because they may not be able to set boundaries and they may have some emotion attached to that, right? Whether if I say no to you, am I letting you down, right? And that's my own feeling around whatever the ask is, right? Even as something as minor, like, could you go pick up your niece? You know, it's like, I could, but that would require for me to like move everything in my day to make it happen. And if I say no, does that make me not a good enough aunt? You know? So these are some of the struggles that I think happens with people, including myself. And then when you talk about what you know, what you're struggling with when you're thinking about, like, you teach, you know, people may not know that, but you teach. And I think one of the things that happens, especially like when I do trainings and stuff, it takes a lot for you to do it, but you get personal benefit out of it that it's like giving you fuel to keep going.
Yeah.
But is that how you feel? Because that could totally be making that up for you.
No, it is. It's both.
Okay.
I've often talked to people about, this is a common metaphor, but your brain is a table. Have we talked about that?
No, we haven't. But yes, go ahead.
Like your brain is, this is a very useful metaphor for me. And I've talked about it a lot, but like my life and my brain is a table. So like I'm piling junk on it and there are big things and little things. And then all the stuff that happens to me, just whatever's happening in my life, right, is the stuff that I pile on. And then I also think about my life as a table. Like there have been times in my life where my brain or my table was like jankety.
Yeah.
Folding card table with thin wobbly legs and it was not strong. And so anything that would go on it, forget it. I was devastated and destroyed or whatever. But I've built up the table and the legs and like made it stronger. So my table is stronger today, right? And then the legs are the things that hold me up, you know, either relationships or meaning. Like my job has a lot of meaning. My relationships, they hold me up. They have a lot of meaning. So I think about the things that do that. And then I think about strengthening them. Mm-hmm. But I've probably been the worst about the crap I pick up
and all
the crap
table
that I pile on my table and not doing enough to look at what's on there and figure out what I can let go or like what I keep picking up or like what is weighing me down that I don't give it enough credit that it's weighing me down.
Yeah.
You know, just taking that time to go, if I'm feeling really stressed, like today I said to you, like my eye is twitchy. I'm waking up every day with pain. My body is basically telling me that if I don't do something to change what's going on in my life, it's going to do it for me. And right. I'm either going to have a major illness because my immune system is just shot, or I'm going to worsen the headaches and the neck ache and the back pain that my body is feeling.
What's interesting is that you're talking about a range of different things. And, you know, when we started talking about this kind of subject is around finding balance, right? But I think for many people, that's a goal. Like I'm gonna find balance, but it's a misnomer because in my personal opinion, nothing can ever be balanced. Okay. It just yeah. can't, because if I dedicate more time to X, something else for me may be lacking, right? I can, mm-hmm. you can feel comfortable with your decision and say, I'm, you know, if you think about that table metaphor, right? I'm going to strengthen one of the legs by having more in-depth conversations with my partner. Let's say I'm going to spend more time with them. But at the same time, in my world, I'm like, ooh, I should actually be writing the second chapter of my dissertation right now. But, oh, my relationship is getting stronger, right? So it's not about doing an either or. It's just coming to terms with the decisions that you've made and feeling comfortable in knowing that not any one aspect of your life is going to look perfect. And it's like failing if you don't do it well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And what you're cueing in, which I really appreciate, because the idea of balance feels like this Instagram like
yeah
peaceful world where someone is sitting on the beach and super zen, and I'm just like, who gets that? Like, it's funny because when you first said, let's do how do I find balance in my life, I scoffed, I think, and like laughed at you, because I just even feel twitchy about the expectation of finding balance, because it's like the spectrum of balance is, how do I not have my life implode on me?
Yep.
Yeah. It's this maybe the same feeling when someone is Googling, like, how do I find balance, is the same feeling as how do I deal with the overwhelmingness of life? It's like just all the crap we are dealing with. It's true.
It's like, funny because you talk about like the beach, you know, and like, oh, look, it's so pretty. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, turn the camera and you're going to see like sand everywhere, the beach chair thrown apart. You have bags of, and it's like, it's not as pretty as you think it looks.
Yeah.
And it's, we do a disservice to say, oh, everything is great. Everything is working out just fine. It's like,
and you can have balance.
Yeah, it's like
you can have zen. Yeah. But when you Google it, like when you Google how do I find balance, there is a whole world where the things that you find there are like the Buddhist Zen stuff, right?
Yes.
So I think that's what's a challenge for us with mental illness, and I don't know. Again, it's like kind of the thing between like mental illness reality versus normal, you know, in quotes, reality, where you're like, do other people have access to Zen?
I think
not the world I live in.
Yeah, I don't think that people do. I think they have a better way of kind of hiding all the crap that we deal with and making it look like they have it more together. Mm-hmm. But we all deal with stuff with or without mental health stuff going on. Like if I'm dealing with depression, you know, my ability to make sure that the responsibilities that I have, like going to work, maybe taking care of my family, taking care of myself, it may be minimal, you know, from the outside it may look, I'm just doing the minimum. But for me, it's the most that I can give at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It, in many ways, it's about thinking about the expectations that you set for yourself, but also giving you room to not have to exist in perfection. For me, that's hard.
Yeah. Or claiming the right to do what you need to do to be well.
Yeah, completely.
Because I do know that our brains may handle stress differently. And there are times where if people are in a hard spot with their mental health challenges, like a flare up of trauma, a flare up of depression, a flare up of psychosis, like it's true, we are not able to handle normal stressors, but it's not because our brains are weak. It's because we're dealing with crap in our brain. Like our brain is working through all these other things. So I do think that in the hard work that happens when you try to take care of yourself with a mental illness, we have to be extra diligent about claiming space.
Yeah.
And not feeling bad about it. Like the stigma, like the shame of our mental illness, right? Like, and really wrestle with that in a different way than I think other people do, which is also why it's hard for us to go to Zen. Like we can't go there easily. I don't know. Maybe that's wrong for me to say. Maybe lots of people just go to Zen easily.
No. In talking to a lot of people, I don't think that it's easy to find the space of Zen. It's not what you see in the movies, you know, like the things around like meditation and things like that. Those are awesome tools to help you find some sort of serenity, peace, calmness, whatever. But it's not a solution to be like, oh, I'm going to now do meditation and everything in my life is going to fall right into place. It doesn't work out that way. You know, it's one aspect, one tool that you can use to help you. But when you were talking about like the table, right, and where it's like, you know, a foldable little table, where if you pop anything in the center at any time, it could like completely crumble. And then you're now in a better space where your table is much stronger and you have stronger legs. It's a very interesting way to think about these issues because we oftentimes just say, we're going to just pile one more thing on top. I have to do this new project at work. And if I don't do it, it may look like I'm not able, I'm not capable of doing it. So you pile it on and you say yes. Or, you know, in your relationships, you're putting more tasks on yourself to do more. Oh, I'm going to cook more. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat better. You know, and all these things at the end of the day are just overwhelmingly on your table. And inevitably, some things are going to fall off.
Yeah.
Right. And you can either readjust the things that are on the table to help them stay steady, you know, like blocks, like figuring out how am I going to make all this exist on the same table, or determine what can I allow to fall off so that I don't have that much weight on me And I think that's a critical skill that has to happen as people kind of develop this aspect of setting boundaries and then saying, it's okay. I don't have to make this look perfect.
It's interesting that you said that the things will fall off. Yeah. Because you're right. Like, you can only do so much. So eventually things will become neglected. But I don't even know that I had that frame in my mind that things could get off. Because even if it didn't go away, I still worried mm-hmm. about it. And so it stayed on the table. And I just think the change, unless I was going to actively remove something, the only ultimate change that was going to happen was when the table would break.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, when am I going to hit my limit? And I'm going to get sick and need intervention or use bad coping skills or chew 10 fingers off.
Yeah.
And a giant hole in my arm. Yeah. You know, it's just like.
So for me, let me tell you a couple of things that I think work for me. One is being able to just vent and just mm-hmm. sit with somebody that's just going to allow me to just tell them all the crap that I have going on. Without ever needing a solution from them, right? It's just they're listening mm-hmm. Or me getting it out mm-hmm. in some way. And I think the other thing is, for me specifically, is moving away from this idea that everything has to be just right. I'm very focused on, oh, I have to do it just this way. And when it's not that way, like, messes with my brain and my emotions, and I feel like super stressed and I get angry at that it's not working out or in the way that I want. Mm-hmm. So just do it until you can and get it done.
So you've like, you get obsessive about something, and then you gotta, it's like an itch you can't let go of.
Oh God. Yeah.
That's stressful. Yeah. That's stressful in and of itself. So what, how do you do that? How do you deal with the itch?
I sometimes just have to give in and say, I'm not going to do this at 100%. I can only give it 80.
So you accept that it's just not going to be what you want.
Yeah.
And that is enough.
Yeah. And it's hard to get to that place, but yes.
You are enough. It is enough.
Right.
For today.
You know, one of the things you've talked about before and we've talked about together is this idea of being able to say what you need.
Yeah, we keep talking about that.
And because of the conversations that we've had and everything in the last few months, I'm coming to understand, like, if I'm not able to give my 100% to something, can my partner help me pick up the extra 20%, you know, and asking for that specifically, which is hard to ask for help, mm-hmm. but it helps alleviate some of that stress and responsibility and this idea of like everything creating and functioning in this perfect space.
I'm in a particularly stressed out day today. So if you asked me yesterday this exact question, how do I find balance in my life? I would have probably had a whole set of different answers. One that was a little like, you're a list maker, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not a list maker. But recently I spoke to some people about their list making habits. And I realized that because my brain is not a list making brain, I tolerate higher rates of chaos, mm-hmm. which is probably related to the way I was raised, right? But that comes with like downfall. I don't have the list making skills or the list making brain. Whatever it is that you guys do and find benefit from, there's something there that I just can't even, I don't tap into. Yeah. Like, I don't like lists. I don't find any value in checking them off. So I don't follow lists, but a lot of people do. I think making lists and checking off things and like making lists of what is on your table and what you can put off, that it sounds magical to me. I just don't do it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not where my brain goes. But that's probably why I tolerate and live in chaos, and then I pile on chaos and I swirl in chaos. My other habits, like, I gotta try and eat well or be well and just say no where I can. But in the end, the chaos ends up winning. And then it's like today where I'm going to have a bad day. And the only way I'm going to find balance is to take an extreme action, which is either to lash out violently towards someone and let all that out, like you said, explode. Or if I'm good, recognize that I'm about to blow up and isolate myself and do what I need to return to the middle by doing hardcore self-care time. Like, I know today that I'm in this tipping point. I can either take my vacation next week for real and really take care of myself, which is what I need to do, or I can choose to keep pushing the chaos and life will just do it for me. I will explode, get sick, go to the hospital, something. I don't know, you know?
So, no, but what pushes you to not make the decision to just say, okay, I'm going to take my vacation? What's holding you back from doing that?
Probably you guys, right? Like, I think I have to surround myself with people in my life who say, no, if you're not going to set boundaries for yourself, I'm going to remind you that you need to set this boundary.
Okay.
Victoria did that for me this morning. I was like, well, why don't I just take that meeting? And she was like, no, you're on vacation. Go on vacation.
Okay.
You know? And if I'm not doing it for myself, it's been helpful for other people around me to be like, no, my husband is like that. If I'm like, oh, I said I was going to do this and I was going to, he'll be like, but you said that. You said you were going to take time.
Yeah.
You said you were going to take care of yourself. And I'm like, damn. And it's because I don't have a habit of self-care.
It makes me think, have you ever gone bowling? Please tell me you have.
Of course. I love bowling.
Okay. All right. You know, when you go bowling and like for the babies, the little kids, they put up the little...
Yeah, those things rails. Scare me. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're there for a reason, right? Because they want you to stay in the lane.
Oh, the right? Bumper rails. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The bumper rails. Yes, yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. So when you're talking about you having to surround yourself with people that kind of help you check in, it's like, no, you've said this. Mm-hmm. Stick to it.
Yeah.
You know? It ends up being like these bumper rails that you want to get sidetracked and end up in the little like divot or whatever. And it's like, nope, you're going to stay on track. And when you talk about like existing like in chaos, I can't function in chaos. Chaos makes me completely anxious. Disorder makes me anxious because, like you said, my brain is very logical. Lists make sense to me. But, you know, in my personal life, my partner doesn't function that way either. He functions a lot like you. So it's like these two trays are like crashing into one another. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, why wouldn't you put that there? You know, like it has a place. It has a place. It has a place. Why wouldn't you do that? So what I have come to understand and what I still continue to struggle with is I don't have to understand why he thinks the way he thinks, or he has to understand the way that I think. But it is trying to figure out how we can work together to make sure that our common goal is met. So if you're saying like your husband is telling you, you said this, he's using your own words mm-hmm. as a check, mm-hmm. right? And that's, I think, the thing that helps solidify the fact that you may not have the best skills in self-care or finding balance or whatever, but you have people that will be like consistently, no, 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 stay in your lane, dude.
Yeah. And it feels unfair. Like I feel bad or guilty that at my worst, I'm relying on other people to help me remind myself that I need self-care. I do feel like a goal would be, how do I build up this skill internally myself so I don't rely on other people? I think that's a good thing to think about. And I'm sure there's a lot to wrestle with why in my life, like, taking care of myself feels, I'm sure we could unpack that. There are lots of reasons, but it's like, why, even though my mind, I mean, like my professional mind, the clinical person in me, everything that I've been taught, everything that I share and talk to people about is like, self-care is something you have to do. And yet it is so hard to do it.
Yeah. It's a habit. It's a habit of ensuring that you are taking care of yourself.
I was going to say, it is probably tied to how easy it was for Kelly and I to talk about, I hate myself. Those two things are so tied, right? Why it's so easy for me to hate myself and to go to that place, and then it's slippery to self-care and then balance.
For the folks that are really used to creating lists, you know, and they function for you, I would say creating a list and figuring out what's on your list of responsibilities, your tasks, the things that are on your table. Think about it in that way, right? What's on your table that you can either put on another table or ask for help and create a little bit of order for yourself to say, it's okay that my table's full, but I can pull these things off for a later time.
And I guess I'll say that my takeaway today is if you're feeling stressed and you're like, oh, how do I find balance? Because I realize I'm more stressed. America's thoughts are important, that solution, right? But if you're looking up like, how do I find balance? Because you realize you're really stressed out and things are about to explode, then don't write a list. Run as fast as you can to find out what you need to do to take care of yourself. You have to not rebalance, but recenter yourself by taking care of ourselves. I gotta take vacation next week. I gotta turn off the internet. I got to sleep and just, I have to find not a list of all the things that are my responsibilities, but the things that I need to do. And that's probably the only list I need to take care of, is the list I need to do to make sure that I am taking care of myself.
You bring to bear a very important aspect of what we're saying. Two things. One, balance doesn't exist, in my opinion. It doesn't exist. Don't create more stress for yourself by thinking that you're going to find this balance somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
You can come to terms with everything that's going on with your life.
Yeah.
Through some work. And two, definitely find the places where people, whatever X thing is, so that you can feel better. And that's dependent on you, right? Go get coffee with a friend. Go and lock yourself in your room and don't let anybody disturb you. You know, if that's what it's going to take.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Keep fighting in the open.
Bye.